You're listening to Horace the Avengers Follow the White Rabbit, an exclusive production of WhiteRabbitRadio.net, and this is another Follow the White Rabbit. In this one, we have an exclusive program for you, an exclusive program covering the White Man March. Maybe you've heard of it over from over there at Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar over at WhitakerOnline.org. All this buzz, Minerva started, Laura Burton, and the buzz is so big that she wasn't allowed to fly through Canada. She wasn't allowed to fly into Canada because she had promotional materials for the White Man March. And I don't know about you, but that's the type of party I want to know about. And today we have a very special program because we have the other side of the coin on that many of you aren't aware of, probably, over at Renegade Broadcasting. Renegade Broadcasting is run by Kyle Hunt, mostly, and he runs a podcast over there called the Blitzkrieg Broadcast. And it's a very interesting broadcast that I've been on a couple times, and you'll be seeing the link on the podcast page as we upgrade. As we upgrade White Rabbit Radio a little bit more in the coming days, this should be up by the time you hear this podcast, actually. But I've been on over there, and he's been doing a tremendous amount of work behind the scenes to promote this White Man March. And we're going to have an exclusive special here and have him on for a few minutes to talk, as well as Truck Roy, about this big event on March 15th. Kyle, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, tell us about the White Man March.
Well, the White Man March is scheduled for March 15th, 2014, and it is a global day of activism where white people do whatever they can, wherever they can, to advocate for their interests. And it's been really exciting seeing all of the different pieces come together and seeing this message getting spread far and wide. So I'm expecting a really big turnout here.
I remember like yesterday, I did these podcasts, the original Follow the White Rabbit, and I always say the same thing. It starts with a sound. It starts with a vibration. And I always told people that once you hit a target audience, it will soon get out of control. And I remember a couple years after that, that we went, every time we tried to post something on CNN or wherever regarding the mantra, it was already being posted by someone else. And that's when I knew it was going to be out of control. And there was always these people that said, well, it's not on the street yet, it's not on the street. And I explained to them that before you ever heard rap music bouncing down the street, you heard it on TV or on the Internet. That's the way it goes. In fact, music nowadays, if you don't hear it on the Internet, you're not going to hear it on the street. So this type of thing is very exciting because if you own the Internet, you're going to own the streets. And this is the type of thing we're looking for, and it's very exciting stuff. And what it is to fill the people in, if you're familiar with my podcast, we always talk about practical politics. And practical politics is obviously what you say every time you open up your mouth. But it's always playing by the rules, not breaking the rules. And I think this type of thing is fantastic to get people engaged in a consistent message.
Yeah, well, what you were saying before about needing to basically take over on the Internet before you can take over the streets, I think is completely accurate. I think if we had tried to run this event last year or the year before, it wouldn't have been possible, or we wouldn't have had the same amount of support and enthusiasm that we have this year. I think we really needed to establish a strong base on the Internet, and that's what is out there right now. There's a wellspring of support of white people who are fed up with white guilt, with white genocide, and all of these white privilege conferences. So we're going to be seeing a lot of people finally just feeling comfortable enough to get out there and advocate for their race and oppose their destruction, because that's what we're seeing all over the media. And the media is really helping to radicalize people to our cause, just with all of the anti-white bias that is out there. And this includes hiring practices and admissions to college as well. People can see when these jobs are very scarce that they're getting thrown under the bus in favor of the so-called minorities and the illegal immigrants. The white man is not privileged. In fact, he's put behind everybody else, and it's being done legally in this country and abroad. And so we have a lot of people who are sick of it and looking to do something. So that's why we set up the White Man March, so that they can do something. And if people have a lot of people in their area that they're planning to get together with, they can put on a literal march. We're advocating something called a flash march, which or a lightning march, would be something like a nonviolent flash mob, so to basically keep the anti-racist and the anti-fascist from going and being able to put up any kind of real opposition. And this would get the police involved too. These old kind of marches haven't worked too well. Perhaps in some places in Europe they might find more success, but we're looking to get our message out there unhindered if possible. So people are coordinating locally to be able to meet up, display their signs or banners, and somehow be active. For smaller groups, they might want to do literature distribution or other kinds of legal activism. And even if people don't want to go out on that day, I suggest that they do. I feel like they would regret not going out in public on that day. But if they don't want to, if you just want to be inside on the internet all day, there's plenty you can do to help us get this message out. So wherever you are, whatever your comfort level is, and whatever your skills are, we can use you on this day. And I think when we get all of these people acting in synchronicity, magical things will be happening.
Yeah, I've heard that there's going to be several different groups that are going to take their signs and stand on the corner, stand on a busy street corner, you know, which obviously is your legal right, and or take signs and walk through the local campus and that type of thing. Of course, I've been asked of late, you know, this is an open system style, event, meaning that, you know, what do you expect to do that day? Whatever you can do, wherever you're at, you know, act locally but think globally. It's what we always say. Whatever you can do, do it. Make your voice heard. You may be tied up that day and can only work your smartphone and Twitter, but there's things you can do to be very helpful, whether as far as retweeting pics and so on and so forth. And I'm always asked about this type of thing and how this type of activism works, and we got a very good template, a very good model for it. Jimmy Marr, many listeners know who that is. If you don't, he plays the bagpipe, and he's in all these particular videos out there in Oregon. And he's an excellent example of a street activist in so much as he knows all the rules. Practical politics is always playing by the rules. It doesn't matter whether you're online in a forum, you better be playing by the rules or they're going to ban you, and they might ban you anyways. But if you're on the street, you definitely have to know the rules and the laws of the area. And he knows every single rule and law and code in that particular area for signs and banners and what he's allowed to play in regards to his bagpipes on the street and everything else. So he's a real, really good example. If you can't play by the rules, this isn't for you.
Mm-hmm. And we have sent out 70 banners that read diversity in quotation marks equals white genocide, and on the backs of these banners there is something of a warning label saying check with your local laws. And we don't want anybody going to jail for their activism on this day, so do things legally,
and it's completely unnecessary.
And the idea is that you should be proud to stand beside the banner. So don't go just hang it up somewhere where it's going to be taken down, confiscated, and you could end up getting in trouble for that. Stand by it, stand with it, hold it. It's probably safer not to actually attach it to any permanent property, some public property. This could end up getting you in trouble. So find out what your local laws are, what you're able to do, and play within the rules, and have fun. Be out there smiling. Make it an enjoyable day, and also network with the people that you might not have met before, and make sure that you're building a strong community for the future. And if we don't get any of these banners taken away from us, well, we've got 70 banners and all the other materials that we have planned for this day that will be used again and again in the future to get our message out there.
Yes, and of course you can go to the front page of WhiteRabbitRadio.net. There's a video up under White Man March, and it's called Banners on the Way. And you can watch the banners going out. And many of you have seen or if you haven't, you can go to the front page as well. And you're going to see why the White Man March is important. And the article from the British National Party talking about the various different memes having to do with the mantra, diversity equals white genocide, diversity is a code word for white genocide, the famous anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. I've been asked, which one should you do? Well, it's an open system. Do whatever you think works in your area. I know the Europeans, when they're taking things into different languages, we basically look for them to take on a mantra mindset and to bring things into the language in a way that's workable. Most of, like, anti-racism is a code word for anti-white, and diversity is a code word for white genocide, or diversity equals white genocide, are very easily convertible into other languages. But there usually is a few twists and turns, so use your head. The rules are, there are no rules, just don't break any laws. It's very simple.
I know some people didn't like the shortened version of diversity is a code word for white genocide, but we were really just looking to get something compact on those banners that would get the point across in as few words as possible so that they'd be easily read from a distance. And I think we accomplished that, and the banners look really good. So those have all been reserved, so there aren't any more to go out there, but there are some promotional materials that are available at whitemanmarch.com, and people can download the PDFs for, say, one of the great flyers that was put together for us, and then print these out at your local print shop or order them online, and you have a bunch of really nice-looking flyers that you could hand out on that day.
I know there's a tremendous number out there that have made their own mantra-style flyers in the past that have their own cards. They have business cards on them with elements of the mantra on it or mini mantras. There is a tremendous number of those out there as well that are making their own signs, and that's fine. You know, whatever works for you. You know what's best to do, and whatever you can do, do it. You know, one of the interesting things about the mini mantras is certain parties have their favorite. And last time I was on Rinse Broadcasting with Don Black, he didn't like one of the mini mantras. I forget which one it was, which is typically the case. What we find is when it regards to white genocide, the younger generation people generally will put it into a smartphone and look it up on Google. And that, of course, leads them right to one of our websites and leads them right to the whole thing. And that's what's significant as well. So I think it's workable, and I think it's fine. There are no right or wrongs, only what works. And we find that this stuff works very, very well, obviously, or we wouldn't be still here talking about it a few years later. Truck Roy, do you have anything to add?
Well, I had a question for Kyle. When you talk about the Flash March idea, what's the logistics of that? You got one fellow who knows the location, and then everybody else doesn't know till the last minute, and then he lets them all know via smartphone, or what?
Yes, that's the general idea. And it has been done by a number of other groups successfully, some of them pro-white groups as well. And it just takes a bit of coordination, a bit of trust, and of course there could be some people on that list who are not actually on your side, but it's hard to know, and you're taking whatever precautions you can. If you show up to a place where the press is already there, you've got police, you've got the anti-fascists, I'd say just take your people and go somewhere else. I'm not looking for any big confrontations on this day. I don't think that's the goal. And there are a lot of things that will be going on Saturday, March 15th, 2014. It's right by St. Patrick's Day, and a lot of people will be celebrating St. Patrick's Day on March 15th because it's a Saturday. So there will be a lot of opportunities for engaging with the public, in particular, a public that is already celebrating one of our great white cultures.
That's a very good point. It's a very good point. The ones I know that do that type of flash activity in the past and that are geared up for it, generally they know everyone on their list and they're all meeting up at one place to walk around or with signs or to do something particular on a street corner. regarding whatever activism is. And I'm thinking in Oregon where they hold up signs on the road and whatnot, or in public property, that type of thing. But they all generally know each other and meet up, but there are no necessarily rules for this type of thing. It's just get it done. Get it done and get it out there.
We're not advocating the planned marches that I don't think have been very successful in the past. You know, where they've got people in uniforms, they're holding shields and all the rest. It almost becomes something of a circus. And unless you have a lot of people out there marching, it doesn't look good for our cause, in my opinion, because they might be surrounded by 10 times the amount. And it looks like the police are protecting them, which they are. But we don't want to give that message that we need to be protected by the police because we're just being surrounded by people who hate us and are shouting us down. I think we need to define the debate and actually not even get into it with people for the most part. I'm saying when there's any kind of hostility, just get out of there. There's no need to. No need to push things at all, and we're just looking to get our message across. And if there aren't any opposition forces there, then we'll be the ones with all of the media. We'll have the video, the pictures, and we'll select out the pieces of media that make us look the best. We don't want the mainstream media picking and choosing to make us look silly, foolish, or dangerous, or evil, or whatever. You know, that they can do if they're in control of the press from that day.
So Kyle, let me clarify here. You're saying that it's better, instead of having the mainstream media show up, the newspaper or the television or whatever, rather we do our own media, record our own events, and then edit them ourselves.
Exactly, and if these local media companies or even the national media companies want to report on the story, then they'll have to use our images and videos. I think it really allows us to craft our message in the best way possible.
Well, at least if they do show up to record something and you're recording it on a smartphone, you can record very nice videos on smartphones these days. It's amazing the quality of video that you can do on an Apple iPhone or something like that. We have some particular bugsters that make pretty good videos with the things. Shocking. But what Kyle's saying, that you might, even if they're recording you, it would be a good idea to record yourself as well.
Safety reasons.
Yes.
Well. You want to have a record of what's going on. And if there are agent provocateurs, you want to make sure that you've got evidence of that.
Yeah, you can always hit a record button. That's what he's saying.
And that's good. And it's it's also perhaps a good idea, if you are doing a lightning march, a flash march, to have somebody who's around that area, who is part of your group, but is not actually demonstrating with you, and instead is actually there as your press man, the guy who's taking the video and the pictures, but it doesn't seem to be associated with you, so that you make sure that media gets out of there and that you've got some good shots of your event.
Don't be surprised if the media ignores you, though. Don't be surprised. You guys, some of the media might cover you, but it might just be local media. Don't be surprised if mum's the word. Typically with this type of thing, that is the reaction. And don't be surprised if it's one extreme or the other with this type of thing. Typically with a consistent message, the enemy should sit silent. They should sit silent until they can't stand it any longer. And we don't know when that's going to be, and it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really change our approach. If you show up and you're recording yourself, fine. If you show up and some news channel comes out and records you, that's great as well. But, anything goes for this type of thing. You should be prepared for anything. But typically with this type of, the enemy is used to approaching our side. You know, our side, typically you have the lone warrior out there writing books and giving speeches. We're dealing with the what we call the white rabbit approach is like a hydra. It's all these different heads out there moving, and no sooner than you get used to what's going on, Renegade Broadcasting and Kyle Hunt comes up with the white man march. And all of a sudden you've got this other angle and this other personality, and you've got Jimmy Marr playing his bagpipe. You've got the Spanish bucksters doing their thing. It becomes impossible for the media to even know what's going on. So they kind of almost, if they do show up, they kind of have to approach it, in some amount of honesty, because there's very little preparation between group or activism and that particular point of activism, based on what's going on everywhere else. It's almost like out of control, in so much as you've got this message hitting the populace from all sides and all places to the extent that no one can keep track of it. And that's kind of that's precisely what we want. It keeps them very honest.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about this area here, because some of my associates have been doing some activism that's been in the paper in the last month, and a couple weeks ago, our local paper kind of tried to front run this event by running an article on the weekend about the White Man March, and I guess they tried to contact Kyle or other people, but in a situation, I know both of you guys, I think, are savvy fellows. What would you advise in a situation like that, when maybe you've lost the element of surprise? Should you still go ahead, or?
Well, it seems like they're giving free advertisement for it. I would I try to be as clever as I could, and you know, basically pretending like we'd be doing one thing and then have plan B and C in place as well.
A little misdirection.
Yeah, a little misdirection, I think, would go a long way. But you know what? I think it's a good thing that they're giving this free advertising already for this event. And, you know, I'm personally very excited. I've seen so many people coming up with creative ways to celebrate this day. I know that in Knoxville, Tennessee, they have a Celtic Games, the Highland Games, planned for March 15th, and I think that's a great way to celebrate white heritage as well. So I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised with the creativity and the dedication of our people on this day. And it doesn't have to be all just one way or another. It's really up to the people involved to take matters into their own hands. They don't need to tell me what they're doing. I don't want to know. That's the beauty of it.
That's precisely right. I think Truck Roy's in an interesting position, because he's in the same area vicinity of that permanent sign that someone put up. So maybe that's why they were so interested in that area. You know, anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. I don't know if Kyle knows this, but this area of Arkansas is that permanent. In Arkansas, there's an area where there's a lot of activism going on to such an extent that someone put up that permanent sign, which is a permanent white man march sign every single day, which is great. Great as well. Maybe we'll see another dozen of those go up on March 15th. I don't know, but that's a permanent thing. Maybe that's why they were targeting that truck.
Yeah.
Now, and maybe that's why they...
Kyle, I got another question for you. For those people who, for whatever reason, can't get out in public that day, you said they can do some things online. What kind of internet activism can they do on the 15th?
Well, they can inform people in all of the top news stories in the comment section about what's taking place on that day and why. They can go over to whitemanmarch.com and they can look through our materials that we have up there already, and some of the things we'll have up there after this podcast goes out. But there will be ways to engage. I think we need to really take over social media on that day. Make sure that the White Man March is on almost everybody's Facebook feed, however that can be achieved. We need to get pictures out there. We need to get all the retweeting going. So if you're going to be inside on March 15th, let's have you dedicate some hours to flooding the internet with pro-white material in any way that you can.
Yeah, I've been asked questions about this, and let me say directly that we're going to be under the hashtags for the Twitter followers that know hashtags, White Man March, as well as the hashtag, the famous hashtag, White Genocide, specifically those two together, that day. And we'll be taking emails and putting them out on EuroRabbit, out on Anti-Racist Hitler most likely as well, retweeting them across, and you can tweet to at EuroRabbit as well. If you don't know how to use hashtags, you can always go to the White Man March, put it up. If that's too complicated, you just send it to me, email from your smartphone, which I know some of you like to do. That's fine as well. We'll get it out there, and we'll be putting them up on White Genocide Memes as well. The person that runs that will be also putting them up. So we're going to have a lot going on.
Sorry, Facebook actually has hashtags now. Somebody who runs a very popular page over at Facebook has been putting out a lot of hashtag White Man March posts. It's actually American White History Month 2 on Facebook. Lots of followers. And they've been basically hashtag White Man Marching for some time now, and I think that's great. So other people can get involved with that prior to the event, and then definitely on the day of the event, just flood everybody's Facebook wall with hashtag White Man March, and then some interesting links, pictures, and status updates.
There you go. Maybe you can get a trending hashtag that day. That'll be the day. And we're looking to push for a public conversation on white genocide, a public discussion, if you will. And if you ever see a trending hashtag white genocide or the trending hashtag white man march, you can assume a whole lot's going on the street. That's for sure. I think that pretty much, I can't think of anything else to add. I would just keep it simple across Twitter and hashtag white man march, hashtag white genocide. Obviously, they all go together. Keep it simple under those two. I use both. I will be using both. And we will definitely be able to retweet or get it out there. We'll figure it out. It's pretty simple. This isn't rocket science.
Yeah, and I think a good thing to put out on those days as well in the whole flood of pro-white media would be Anti-Racist Hitler or How Whites Took Over America, Part 1 or 2. This is a great way to introduce people online to the reasons why we are marching in March.
Well, that's true. That's true. We're in the process of replaying those over the next few weeks on White Genocide Memes too. I don't actually run that page. Someone else does, but I support it. I support anything exposing anyone to the mantra anywhere in the world. I'll try to support that. But we're getting ready to do that because we have another animation coming out, Johnny Racist, here in the next month. But that's a good idea as well, because those are, that's definitely a good intro to White Genocide.
Yeah, and I'm just really excited to have this meme, this reality of white genocide, making it out there to the public at large. And if the mainstream press does cover it, well, they're going to have a whole lot of explaining to do as to why they haven't been covering it. And eventually they'll start making justifications for why white genocide is a good thing, and then we have them right where we want them. So it'll be really interesting to see how they do cover it. And I'm kind of with Horace in this regard, that it's either going to be all or nothing. They're going to have a complete blackout, or they're going to cover it and try to do as much damage control and spin as possible. But either way, we have our alternative media, and I know it's going to be going out far and wide on that, and I think it'll be a success regardless of whether or not the controlled media decides to cover it.
I totally agree with that. We might see some regional coverages like we've seen in Oregon or Arkansas, but what we saw in the big sign move out, the first of the White Man March signs really in the past 3 weeks over in Australia, they wouldn't touch it. They wouldn't touch it at all. So I think it just depends, but we own the net, so we're going to be covering it no matter what. It'll be all over the place online. So we'll have people asking questions no matter what. And that also becomes the topic of conversation on why the media isn't talking about this. One of those particular news coverages online was that Lip TV that Ramsey Paul covered. I don't know if most of the listeners, I'm guessing, would have heard of Ramsey Paul, but he covered something that I put up on actualwhiterabbitradio.net, and it was Lip TV. And Lip TV was covering there's some type of online YouTube-style news coverage, and they were covering all these signs, and they didn't know what was going on with it other than, you know, why isn't anyone else talking about these? These things are all over the damn place, and that's what we want.
Now, for the folks that are online, I've never really tried to contact media outlets about something, but if there's a regional story, is there a way that they can contact their local media outlets and feed them information that this is going on all over the country?
Well, the best way to do that have the local email. Well, the second best way to do that is to have the local reporter that you're trying to get a hold of's email. The first primary way of doing that anymore is Twitter, because every local broadcaster is going to be on Twitter, and you can tweet right to them. You can tweet right to them. Whether or not they respond or run it is another question. But they all read their Twitter, is what we found out. They all do. If they're anybody or everyone, I don't care how small the local reporter is or how large, they all have Twitter, and they're all getting news coverage tweeted to them, and that's what they want, because it's that as well as email. Email would be the second way. The primary way is they all have Twitter accounts, and you just tweet it right to them. They might bite, they might not. It just depends. That is by and large it. If you go to their local, the local news broadcast page, whether it be local Fox News or CBS or whatever, you're going to see the local reporters. You're going to see their email and their Twitter accounts. That's it. They all get paid to run the news. Whether or not they'll allow them to run it is another story.
Understood.
Just comes down to their editors and everything else, but it doesn't hurt to tweet it right to them.
I think they're going to run it. I really think so, because at least some regional stories are going to run, and then once they find out it's going nationally, it's just too tasty of bait for them to ignore it.
Yeah, and it could be. And that definitely could be. It just depends. I think we might see regional run. It's a crapshoot. It'll be one extreme or the other. It's really hard to say. We'll just have to stay tuned for that particular day. We hope.
It's only a couple weeks away.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the reasons we're doing this podcast today, and we plan on doing another one next week. And I find the last 2 weeks, a lot of people want to participate right before. That's just the way these things work. And plenty of time to make up your own signs. A lot online about making signs. Plenty of time about downloading flyers or whatever you want to do. Do you have anything else to add, Kyle?
No, I just I really think that this can be a real game changer out there, especially if we have everybody who's listening right now doing whatever they can on this day. Let's just give it our all, put our best foot forward, and I'm really excited for what will result. I think we've got a bright future in store for us. And it's only going to get better from here as we get the message out further and further, all over the whole white world and beyond.
Well, I know this is kind of premature, Kyle, because we haven't done the event yet, but is this something you might think about promoting annually?
Yeah, I do think that an annual White Man March would be a great thing, but we're going to need to really start thinking about serious organization. Not necessarily party membership or anything like that, but really networking together on the day of the event and then afterward, because we're going to have to be relentless. And it's not going to be me organizing an event every month or anything like that. It's just people have got to take the initiative and keep the ball rolling. It's got to be wave after wave until we break down the walls that are holding us back. And I think it's possible. I know that quite a few people are doing their White Pride Worldwide Day on March 21st, which is the following Friday. And even I think the guys in New Zealand are celebrating White Pride on March 22nd. But if people want to get together again the next weekend, I think that'd be fantastic. Maybe you don't need to even go out and do it as a day of activism, but rather a gathering for your people. I think that this would be a great way to start getting some real bonds of friendship and camaraderie, and will help us move forward into the future as a real effective force of people that can't be denied. And I really just can't wait to see what kinds of great things unfold. From this activism.
Typically, this type of thing, once it moves from the media, whether it be television, to the street, it's just wave after wave after wave eventually. It's almost like any of the ones that have been surfing online and see a CNN or maybe a Daily Mail piece where they haven't banned the mantra posting, and you see wave after wave. That type of thing usually ends up on the street. It always does, in fact. once you see wave after wave in the dominant media, whether it be television and now, of course, the internet, you're going to see that on the street. And then, of course, the dialogue, the whole entire discussion changes permanently. And that's when everything starts solidifying. It's very demoralizing to face it down day after day, hour after hour. It's like I said, it's not one particular person. It's not some big activist standing there with a sword. It is this type of system dies from 1,000 little pokes, from 1,000 little needles. And it's very hard to understand until you see it happening and coming at you, and it just gets totally out of control. I'm sure Kyle is getting a firsthand look at how this type of thing gets out of control in a good way, just all over the place.
Yeah. And I think it's really going to be something that will grow exponentially, especially after the event, because we're going to be reaching so many people who have never even seen the words white and genocide together before. They'll get online, they'll be searching it out. And yeah, I think that we're going to be seeing a lot of people flooding into our camps and wanting to be active after we get out there and show them that we are there, that we are advocating for our people. And people want to join a winning team, and we're going to go out and present ourselves as a team that is looking to win. So it will be a big recruiting drive. So all those people who are already out there as great white activists, plan on getting more people into your camp after this event, and think about how you'll handle it and what kinds of things that new recruits could be doing.
Well, the only thing people always want, and this is you have to fulfill a need, and the one need that they always have, always, what do I say when I'm called a racist? Because that's what they get hit with still, over and over again. And I always say, you're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. If someone's engaging in that type of name-calling, they're engaging in psychological warfare in this day and time. You're to respond likewise. You're to respond, you know, you're just saying, or in your opinion, I'm a racist. You're just saying it because I'm white. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. Or the shorter version. You're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. That is duplicatable. One of the challenges with the pro-white side is typically we communicate at what is referred to as a college level. And if you notice our enemy, they're always communicating at the propaganda level, which is generally speaking at the eighth grade level of that society. And this is timeless material I'm giving you guys. We always have to have those memes ready to give the average person something that's duplicatable. And I don't care whether it's a 5-year-old in London, a 7-year-old in Ohio, or an 85-year-old woman in Arkansas. You've got to have something to say to defend themselves as a white person, and that is your first job as an activist, to give them something duplicatable so that they can fight this system on their own terms at the same point that they were programmed, at the same point of programming. You know, for years our race has not been able to say anything. They just had to cower down when called names. They didn't have anything to say. And if they did say the wrong thing, they're going to lose their job. We can change all that right now. And we are changing all that online. We're looking to transmute that into the greater population at a faster and faster rate. And with the help of the Renegade Broadcasting team and the Truck Roys and everyone else, we're doing all that.
Now, Horace, when you said that the system dies from 1,000 pinpricks, would you say that if someone's listening to this podcast and they don't know anybody else in their area that's going to be out there on the 15th, should they find some little way to get out there, even if it's just putting a little sign up and taking a little picture of it or a little video? Is something that small, when combined with everything else going on that day, make a difference? Or
absolutely, everyone has a strength. Everyone has a strength, and when they see something like this, generally a human being knows exactly. A white rabbit, as I call them, knows exactly what they want to do in that day, whether it's massive number of retweets across a massive number of platforms. They know exactly in their mind what they want to do, where they're going to be, what they want to do. I'm going to put up signs. I'm going to take pictures of them in the following area. You know, I know what the legal codes are, and I can do this. They know exactly what they want to do, exactly what their strengths are, and they're going to do it. That's what you'll find out over and over again. That's why the ingenious thing about the White Man March is, one, it's not a march. Two, it's just a totally open system style of activism, is do whatever you can on that day, whatever you can and whatever you feel you need to do to get out the message. It's, you know, be as creative as you want to be. And you'll find that they know exactly what to do, and they'll be doing it. If you give people the tools and the memes, you'll find that they'll use it, especially if it works. And this stuff, by and large, works. It's not ineffective. It's very effective.
So we're not looking for any big, giant blow. We're looking for a bunch of little things that's going to kind of light fires all over the planet or all
well,
over.
Well, you could have someone rent a blimp or something. That would be one. I'm not necessarily counting on that, but I wouldn't. You know, the sky's the limit. I don't know.
Skywriting over New York City.
Now you got some.
Well, actually, we looked into doing that in one. but the challenge is that planes go kind of fast. But my genius thing would be just a gigantic blimp. You know how you have them at the Super Bowl with the big sign. You know, big sign lighting up. That would be pretty much obnoxious and unavoidable. Cruising over anti-Whiteville, you know. Who knows? Whatever. You know, it's do whatever you, in your mind, everyone listening in their mind knows exactly what they should do that day. Do it. Do it. No regrets.
Understood.
Do we have anything else to cover here? Any last words, Kyle?
Well, I just would reiterate that people can do any variety of activities. Keep it within the rules. Have fun. Look good. Present yourself well. I've recommended to people out there that if they want to have some kind of uniform, then dress all in white. This could just be khakis and a white dress shirt. I think it will make us look good, and I think it will give off the right kind of message to people who will be seeing us. And I'm just really, really excited to see what all of my kinsfolk around the world are going to be coming up with on that day, and I really look forward to it, and I hope that everybody out there has a great time and is able to get what they want done on that day. And, you know, really thank you to yourself, Horace, to Truck Roy, to every single person who has made this possible, because there's been really an overwhelming amount of support and people who have stepped up to do some really great work to make this all a reality. So thanks to everybody who's going to be participating and everybody who's participated thus far.
Yeah, I think that, well, thank you. Thank you for all the work over Renegade Broadcasting. This is what White Rabbit Radio, what I've always looked to do is try to influence those that are going to go on to influence those, and that's what you're doing, which gives us leverage basically over the society. That's what gets out a message. It's not about what any one person's doing. It's about the message collectively getting out there into the minds of the, into the heads of the population. Do you have anything to add, Truck?
No, I think we nailed it, man. And I think, everybody's got the idea. Get out there and do something, and everybody knows what they're going to do. We don't need to wait for instructions. What's that saying from, I have it on my signature on Stormfront, a personal initiative, there's nothing so dangerous as personal initiative. So take your personal initiative out there and make it happen on the 15th. Get on that common message that we're all using, that consistent message of anti-racist is a code word for anti-white, and diversity equals white genocide.
Yes, you don't have to draw those white rabbits too many big pictures. The smart ones will get out there and make it happen. That's what I've always found. Give them the tools and give them a little bit of inspiration, and it'll all work itself out.
And get videos of it. Get pictures.
Get pictures, get videos, especially pictures. Pictures are, well, actually, this is a question I have. That one last question. What we found with Facebook and Twitter, pictures can go get a lot more views, generally speaking, than videos. So you want both, actually. Both. You can take pictures and then do videos, or take videos and then do snapshots of it. So you want both, and one can lead to the other. Pictures can lead to people watching the video and that type of thing. So, and don't be shy. Don't be shy with your media programming that day. Go a little overboard, pictures and video, or, you know, go all out.
Understood.
Okay, it's always better to have more than less, and you can always take snapshots, still frames from the video, and
absolutely
then just release those as pictures. So, get a lot of people out there on your media team, and if it's just you, you got to be a one-man army of activist and also photographer and filmmaker. So,
and some people like that, though. Some people like being the lone activist. That's fine. Whatever works for you. There's not any rules today. That day, just follow the rules, follow the laws, follow the by all means, follow the white rabbit. Just keep putting up signs. Get it out there. Put out the flyers. Get out the message that day and do some type of recording, do some type of pictures, video, of the particular event that you're participating in.
Well, I think this podcast has helped me, Horace. I've got some ideas listening to you guys, and I think I'm going to spend the next couple of weeks, kind of doing some scouting around and focusing on what I'm going to do. I got a little clearer vision now.
It might be difficult. It might be a whole another challenge trying to surprise the anti-whites down in Arkansas. That'll be a task for you because they've already been hit with signs as they drive to work and permanently and everything else, you know. So I don't.
I think Kyle said it. Misdirection. Misdirection is the key word there.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But okay, this is Horace the Avengers, and you're listening to another Horace the Avengers Follow the White Rabbit, exclusive production of WhiteRabbitRadio.net. We'll be back with you again next week, hopefully talking about the White Man March in part two with Laura Burton or Minerva. You can go ahead and cut it off, Truck.
Understood. White Rabbit Radio.